Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everyone, to the Early Line, hour number two on Sports Grid on a Friday morning. Setting you up without this out in this hour for some NBA preview, some fun college basketball, Rick Pitino and the Gales in action. And then we'll send you off into the weekend with some Super Bowl headlines, some stuff to follow, and of course, a little chatter around the Pro Bowl. But we open it up right now by talking about the NBA All-Star Game and the rosters that were announced, finalized. Fred VanVleet, Darius Garland jump out in the Eastern Conference for making it. In the West, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, double Suns. Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, double up on Utah Jazz players there. Draymond Green was on the broadcast and already said he will not be able to play in this game. He is way more injured, by the way, than I think people realize there. But, Donnie, I know the All-Star game for you, it's, I don't even know, I think take it or leave it might be generous. I think it might be just strictly leave it. Any reaction to the finalized All-Star rosters here in the NBA?
No, not really. And it's the point I was bringing up earlier. Like, snubs are looked at a little bit different in other leagues for me than they are actually in the NBA, because I look up and down the roster and, like, you're saying, like, oh, like, one, like, Andrew Wiggins was the biggest, like, eye raise. Like, oh, Wiggins is in the starting lineup. But you look at the rest of the team, it's stacked all the way through. And there's, sure, maybe some deserving players that don't get the nod here, and maybe they deserve to play over guys that were injured for a large portion. But that's not really what the NBA All-Star game is about. The NBA All-Star game is about, and I think they get it right, just put the stars in. Even if the stars are injured or they're not having a good season, the stars are what drive the sport here. And I think you're getting that from both sides. But I have to tell you, when you look at the West Pool and the East Pool starters here, you know, LeBron James, obviously superstar, Jokic, sensational player, Wiggins, questionable, Curry not having the greatest year, but still a legitimate star, and Ja Morant, a young and up-and-coming guy. I like that. But you tell me about the East squad here, starters. And again, they're not all starting or playing, but if they did, you know, Kevin Durant, Giannis, Joel Embiid, Trae Young, and DeMar DeRozan, that's as good as it gets in the starting lineup here. But again, Durant's not going to play, and technically Embiid and Antetokounmpo don't really go together, but the stars, and they start, and that's the way it goes through. But all the way through, the game is fun to watch because of the athletic ability and turns into an actual basketball game with a couple minutes left. But outside of that, I'll tune in, I'll watch a little bit, and that's just about it.
The thing, look, I appreciate the NBA All-Star game. I think the Elam ending has kind of fixed what a lot of people were annoyed about, the final scores being, you know, 207 to, you know, 188. Like, people, you know, couldn't stand that, which is odd. Find different things to be bothered by. But that's okay, because now a little bit more competitive, right? They kind of lock in as the game rolls on. For me, the one thing, of course, though, that is always true about All-Stars or All-NBA, go to the NFL, right? The Pro Bowl, the MLB, All-Star, whatever it might be, right? If there's a snub, then there has to be undeserving players. And, you know, Darius Garland gets the nod for Cleveland. I like that. And in a dream world, you can always get a hometown guy in from the team that is hosting, okay? But Jared Allen is far more deserving than Darius Garland. Now, it's probably because Garland's a guard, and it's the forward position, ultimately, that, you know, Jared Allen, of course, would have to occupy. One, we don't need to do positions in the NBA. But I can't help myself, because there is a guy who is completely undeserving to be on this lineup here. And I understand legacy placement within the All-Star game. Tim Duncan made it every single year. Kobe Bryant was a starter no matter what was happening. Just, like, he would not play, and he would still end up finding a way. I understand legacy placement with on an NBA All-Star roster. As we welcome the radio audience into the fold here, appreciate all those tuned in to the early line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh down at right side reacting to the finalized, again, All-Star players, not the rosters, because those will still have to be drafted. Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton cannot, should not, in any way, shape, or form, be getting legacy Middleton makes it every year status into the NBA All-Star game. That is outrageous. And you might say, oh, come on, Chris Middleton's a really good player. Chris Middleton is quite literally down in every single statistic. Less points per game, less rebounds per game, less assists per game, efficiency, worse from the field, worse from three. He's even worse from the free throw line. Jared Allen, way more deserving. His own teammate, Drew Holiday, way more deserving. There are a countless list of players that are more deserving than Chris Middleton. It is ridiculous that he gets the legacy vote. And what's tremendous about that, though, is he's far from the most egregious inclusion on the NBA's All-Star list, because that's the East side of it. The worst All-Star across both conferences comes from the West and isn't a reserve. I still can't believe that Andrew Wiggins is in this game. Andrew Wiggins wouldn't have been first from the reserves pool that they're going to have to pull from. I know no one cares about this but me, but the voting process cannot get completely railroaded because a K-pop group tweeted out the Andrew Wiggins hashtag, and then it was retweeted 1 million times, Donnie. He's not an All-Star. It's ridiculous.
Who was it, BTS? Give me at least the K-pop, K-Dub. Who was it? Don't leave me hanging.
I think it was BTS, but I I don't know. Is that your guys, Donnie?
Did he appear in the butter? They're my guys.
You're going to be in the latest commercial out there, right?
I got choreographed stuff ready to go. We're just going to be able to hit it there. You know, don't be surprised. Smooth like butter.
DRS, BTS, and the Island Boys making it happen in L.A. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on SportsGrid. Check out tonight's NBA board. A good one late night in Dallas as the Mavs will host the Philadelphia 76ers. Get a little taste of Luka Doncic versus Joel Embiid. The Mavs, a slight favorite here. Minus 112 on the money line to Philly's minus 104 marker. The total is 212.5. And I just want to make a quick point on this total before we talk about what else could make some sense in this game. The Dallas Mavericks cashing unders to open this season at a historic rate. Using the team rankings database, which goes back to 2003, the highest under percentage that the base had was a 63% for a full season from an 2010 Washington Wizards team at 63%. Just a couple of days ago, Dallas was giving you unders at almost a 70% clip. Well, they have now cashed five consecutive overs. Regression. They're going to still end up one of the best under teams in the NBA, no doubt about it. But it can't just now be blind unders when you line up a Dallas Mavericks game here. Maybe tonight's game is an under. Five straight overs is a lot, but you're seeing that shift where instead of, again, a 72% rate to an under, which is unimaginable, it maybe lands 64%, but finding that middle spot there, it could still be more overs than unders to end out this season. Don, when you look at Dallas and Philly, what jumps out?
Yeah, I'll tell you what jumps out to me. The Philadelphia 76ers getting that big-time win over the Memphis Grizzlies. Then Joel Embiid coming back and dropping that game to the Wizards. So now you go on the road and play a good Dallas Mavericks team. But I got to tell you, I always like to equate like what we saw preseason and how it's sticking out now. Luka Doncic, it's not his fault to me that the Dallas Mavericks aren't having a sensational season. He's been amazing. And even just take a look at the last three games. Like, any given night, he can go for 30, 15, and 10. So before the season, it was like, hey, we're going to just give this award to Luka Doncic as the MVP in basketball, Kevin. And I know you were shopping around and, you know, see the value already drop, like the Devin Booker props. And you take a look at Chris Paul. Chris Paul sitting at 42-1 overall. You look and say, Luka Doncic is 65-1 to win the MVP on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. So how it plays into tonight, the reason why I'm bringing this up is, you know, I like betting props in the NBA. Betting Luka props, very good, but it's also those secondary options that you have. But keep in mind, like, you're trying to will a team to victory. You're in a tough Western Conference. You're trying to win a championship. And this is who Luka Doncic has. Jalen Brunson, Dorian Finney-Smith, Maxi Kleber, and Dwight Powell is his starting lineup. And he sits at 65-1, like dragging these guys all throughout the season. Now, I've won some prop bets here with Jalen Brunson. Great usage rate, plays a lot of minutes, and now has been included in the starting lineup. But if I'm looking from a Sixers perspective, Seth Curry coming back to the lineup is key, opening up those inside lanes for Joel Embiid. So the estimated starting lineup for the Sixers tonight, Maxi, Curry, Thibault, Harris, and Embiid. If I'm just looking at a talent perspective for both of these teams, I actually think the Philadelphia 76ers are more talented than the Dallas Mavericks. Short line in this one. I think the Sixers bounce back. That was a bad loss to the Wizards. I think they can take care of business in Dallas.
The one thing, of course, that we've continued to talk about when we bring up these 76ers games, the Joel Embiid points prop, which is so fascinating. 31.5 feels like the lowest it has been now in about a 4-5 game window. He did miss it last game against Washington, but the last time Joel Embiid missed it, the, you know, going over the 30-point marker, but even, you know, 31.5 was against the Lakers. Came back the next game, 36. He has not missed a points prop two times in a row until you probably would have to go back to the middle of December when it was the 11th to the 15th. I mean, that is how consistently Joel Embiid has been filling it up. So just saying, I got to come back to Joel Embiid again at 31.5 makes a lot of sense. Also, trying to wield our powers and get boosts. Please, 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 Joel Embiid and Luka Doncic each to record a double-double, boost that up, and make that happen, because that is a phenomenal piece of business that we would love to get down on there. Because Luka's odd. You don't know if it's rebounds or assists, so that's why the double-double takes the guesswork out of it. Joel Embiid, they're both going to score 10 points. We already know that. That should be a fun game to talk about. Another interesting game, Utah and Brooklyn. I'll be honest, I love bringing this game up here. I do, because you've got the Brooklyn Nets in just complete and utter disarray. Six consecutive games lost, maybe hoping that they could catch Utah on this awful stretch of basketball that the Jazz have been on. And make no bones about it, it has been an awful stretch of basketball for the Utah Jazz. They're 31-21. This team, just a couple of, you know, weeks ago, was 28-10. Awful basketball. Well, Donovan Mitchell's back in time for the game, and the Nets are playing their worst ball of the season. Utah's laying 5.5 in this matchup here. Ultimately, the total checks in at 228.5, Donnie. What might jump out here? Can Brooklyn stop the bleeding?
I love the fact that that total is 228.5, because it opens up a lot of possibilities with points here. But you're right. Is this one of those situations where you say at the end of the game, why did I do this to myself? I knew it was coming here, because there's two ways that you can go. The Brooklyn Nets are playing terrible basketball. They can't continue to play terrible basketball. James Harden's not going to score under 5 points again, and Kyrie Irving should be motivated because it's a road game. But then you look back and go, okay, well, why aren't they motivated in the past year? And if you're reading anything into the future of the Brooklyn Nets, sometimes, Kevin, you don't have to look any further than tonight's game, where it's, does James Harden want to be here? Is this going to be a back-to-back game where he plays so poorly again that the Nets, who have that stance of, we're not getting rid of him this year, you know, we don't even want to look at it in the offseason, we hope he signs his extension and stays with us long-term, and I get it. But sometimes you force that issue as an NBA player, saying, I told you, I'm not comfortable with being here. If you want me to go out night to night and just mail it in and get you 9 points, this is what I'm going to give you. You want to make a good deal and a good trade for somebody out there for me? I'll be fine. I'll certainly look to go to another basketball team. But also, you take a look at the Utah Jazz. Again, this isn't a team coming in that's red hot, like, oh, they're going to paste the Brooklyn Nets here. No second ways about it. But I'm looking at this game, and let me ask you this question. Because from a prop perspective, let's just look at the Brooklyn Nets. If I told you who you trusted more in these props, James Harden's points, rebounds, and assists. Kyrie Irving's points, rebounds, assists. Or just Patty Mills' three-point shots made. It's usually like, oh, my goodness, the usage rate on Kyrie Irving and James Harden is going to be insane. They should team up and both go for 25-plus points, 10 assists plus, and see what they can do. But for me, it's Patty Mills. He's going to be wide open from three-point line. He still wants to play, at least, Kevin. I know his effort's going to be honest in this one.
Yeah, I know Mills is your man. The 2.5 is a little expensive, but again, it's something has cashed consistently. Well, minus 172? Donnie doesn't mind. Donnie loves laying a minus 172. One of his favorite numbers. It's one of his favorite numbers in the world.
Is.
Here's the thing quickly on James Harden. He, right now, looks washed. It's the truth of the matter. Looks washed. Maybe the hand is more injured than we know. If you do want to back James Harden, though, it's the assist market. His number right now is 9.5. 9 of his last 11 games, he has gone over that. 5 consecutive. And the 2 misses, it landed 9 exactly. His 9.5 right now is minus 108. You want to lay juice? I am interested if they will hang a alt number over 8.5, because then he's cashed out in 11 consecutive games. Harden can't shoot right now, can still pass the basketball, might be a good way to get involved with him. One other game that I'll quickly just bring up here, DRS, Toronto and Atlanta, Gary Trent Jr. Any interest in going back to this guy in the props market? 30-plus point, 5-game streak snap last night in overtime in their victory. Who did they play? The Chicago Bulls playing the Hawks here. Any interest in coming back to Trent Jr.?
It's a tough game because normally you would like to come back to him. And he actually got close to that, 19.5, 20.5 point total. And you would have figured yourself, hey, goes to overtime. He probably should have taken that down, but he didn't. But a little bit leery sometimes, Kevin, when both teams come into a basketball game on back-to-backs, sometimes I tend to look elsewhere here because they both played good competitive games yesterday. Maybe there's a little bit of court lag out there.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen the Raptors right on that second leg of a back-to-back. But the last time he, I know, played one was the 4th to the 5th of January. Went for 21 on the 4th and 22 on the 5th. So Gary Trent Jr., if the number's right, could still line up. Let's talk some college basketball next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College basketball on a Friday. It's always interesting because the other day, right, Don and I were talking about just kind of the way the college basketball slate flows, right? He's like, Monday they take a break there. Tuesday's always a big day. He goes, Saturdays are always big days. He goes, Fridays are big days. And in my mind, I'm like, Friday? Usually there's like no ranked teams that play on Fridays. And then I remembered, big day is always relative. For some, light night on the college card. For Donnie, this is where he is at home. A lot of games that you would typically see DRS involved with. And again, the college basketball breakdowns, these are great. I mean, I know most people usually, when they tune into the Early Line, mute when I talk and they raise the volume extra loud when Donnie talks. But it's never more important than when we're breaking down the college basketball board. Because, Donnie, as you said, the numbers are just lining up right now. We're at that point in the season.
Yeah, the numbers are there. You're playing at least, 7, 8, 9, 10 games in conference play, light competition versus light competition. And you're right, KW. People in their car watching on TV, mute when you're up there, turn it up when I start talking. I've heard the same thing about management and also the production team doing the same thing as well. So everybody hand in hand here, huh?
Interesting. And yet, in the commercial, okay, Doves, wild how that works out here. Now, I've certainly set myself up. Yeah, Donnie's got licensing fees on his Early Line content. So, look, I've set myself up here, though, for an interesting breakdown because this either will be very exciting or I'll be very nervous as the Iona Gales, 10-0 in conference, take the floor tonight on the road against the Canisius Golden Griffs. The Gales have been just, look, the Rick Pitino group has it working right now. They're 18-3. They look all the bit of tournament team, a team that you don't want to line up against. You know, if you're one of those, you're five seeds, you're six seeds. That's not a team that you're looking to play here. Can the Iona Gales end up, you know, getting an outright bid if something were to slip in the MAC tournament? Well, it's going to require win after win after win inside conference play. They lay a big number tonight, 12.5. The total checks in at 146.5. Donnie, Iona Canisius, what jumps out?
Yeah, it should be an easy Iona win, to be honest with you. Iona 18-3 on the season, 10-0 in MAC play, and also seven straight W's, so coming in here hot. But it's always interesting where, you know, Iona goes to Canisius, which is in Buffalo. You don't have those same five-star charter jets that you take out. Usually do like a weekend sweep where you play a couple teams before you head home. Canisius 7-15 on the season, Kevin. 3-8 in conference play, including losing 6 of 8 games. There are some interesting numbers here because tempo is what we like, right? Iona's going to go at a good pace, so is Canisius. So more chances at making baskets, the better. But let's take a look at Iona in conference play in the Metro Atlantic. Number one in conference play at offensive efficiency. And why is that key? They rebound very well. And also, here's the key indicator on their offense, because typically, you know me, I like teams that are going to shoot three-pointers and shoot them at volume and go against teams that say, hey, we'll let you shoot as many as you want out here. So if you have a decent night from three-point range, team totals look good. But take a look at this for Iona. There's 11 teams in the Metro Atlantic. They're ninth overall at three-point shooting percentage. They shoot 35% of their total shots from three-point range, which isn't a lot. So if we take a look at conference play, right around in the middle, there's 11 teams in conference. They have their number six in line. Now, here's the crux of the argument and why I think it makes some sense here for Iona. 54% from inside the arc, number one in conference play. If you take a look at defending inside the arc, take a look at Canisius, 10th out of 11 teams at 51.7%. Now, also, why is that big here, Kevin? Because if we look at a team like Canisius from the three-point line, who's number one in the conference at chasing you off the line, but get this, at allowing you to score inside the arc, number one in the conference. 61% of the points that you score against Canisius are inside the arc. And if we line that up, number four in conference play, it's scoring inside the arc. That's the Iona Gales. So if we have Temple going up and down the court, if Iona's saying, hey, look, we're not a great three-point shooting team, we'd rather take it to the rim. And you're looking at Canisius defense saying, hey, we'll chase you off the three-point line. We hope you aren't good at scoring inside the arc. That's not the case here. So if I'm looking at this game both ways, you should get a lot of points in this. But an Iona team total makes the most sense for me tonight in this game.
That's what you want to hear, man. That works out for me. That's tremendous news. I'm excited about it. It should be a fun game. I will say on Iona, despite their 10-0 record in conference, 4-6 against the number against MAC teams this season, they're laying big numbers. Numbers that, look, they don't line up against the way the usual conference plays out. Just for a reference point, you know, for those that, you know, appreciate kind of the stuff that you can find on a KenPom, Iona is 71 on KenPom, right? The next MAC team is Monmouth, all the way down at 122. And after Monmouth, it's 166. So the gap between Iona and the third best team in the MAC is basically 100 places there on KenPom. Essentially, Iona can get in there, again, 11 at 12, maybe something like that. If any other MAC team wins the MAC tournament, they're a 16 seed probably there. Just to give you the idea of the gap right now in the conference that we're looking at there and lining up. Another interesting game, two teams that, again, not, you know, your power fives, but always respected, Richmond and St. Bonaventure do battle. The Bonnies against the Spiders. Richmond favored at home by 3 points here. This is a big-time A-10 matchup usually, Donnie. When you look at that total of 140.5, anything catching the eye?
Yeah, you know what's interesting here? And just do a little bit of a background check here on St. Bonaventure. This is a team that when you are a mid-major, which basically they're a lower mid-major, if you want to call them that, you know, in the A-10, this was one of those teams where he said they're together 5 and 6 years. You got the free COVID year and everybody came back. Holmes, Lofton, Welch, Attaway, and Osuniyi. I mean, a very good starting lineup. And then we take a look at the season that they're having, Kevin. 12-6 overall, 4-3 in conference play, lost 3 of 5. This was one of those teams where you talk about Ione and say, hey, can you possibly get back into this and make a run at like an at-large bid as opposed to an automatic bid when you win the conference? This was maybe one of those teams. In the same way, Richmond has a lot of those type of veteran players as well in the A-10, which had free COVID year. They all took advantage of coming back. They sit 14-8, 5-4 in conference play, but winners of 4 of 5 games. So if we're taking a look at just in A-10 conference play, two decent offenses here. There's 14 teams in the A-10. Number 4 overall in efficiency is St. Bonaventure. Number 6 on offense in efficiency is Richmond. Now, what do we like about this game and what don't we like about this game? Almost the same thing, Kevin, that I just talked about with Ione when we're trying to line this up here. Because if you look at St. Bonaventure's offense, don't turn the basketball over. Very good rebounding team. Get to the free throw line. But at the same time, Richmond's defense counters that fairly well. Now, also, St. Bonaventure, you know, built on bigger guys driving to the rack. How about dead last in conference play at 29.3% from the three-point line here? And also, when you take a look at Richmond's defense, it's not very good. Take a look at this. And as I said again, 14 teams that come into conference play here in the Atlantic 10. Three-point percentage defense, Richmond, 11th. Two-point percentage defense, 12th overall. Not a very good look here at this time, but neither team fouls. So maybe if you're getting to the free throw line, you can add that up, but that's not really where we want to look. Also, Richmond's volume of three-point shots that they take, 41% of their offense have been shots are taken behind the arc. If we take a look at defense, St. Bonaventure, 14th in the conference at letting you shoot the three-point shot. So even though if we're taking a look at the Richmond offense, 12th out of 14 teams not making threes, if they can have an above-average night, they're going to be able to score some points. But also, taking a look at both of these teams, Kevin, from three-point range, out of those 14 teams, as we said, 14th and 12th. So not all that efficient here. So if I look at this game and what it's going to come down to, can Richmond make their shots? Both of these teams have very good head coaches, very good offenses specifically, because you're not relying on 17, 18, and 19-year-old kids. These are veteran players. Maybe look at the over in this game of that 140.5 price makes a little bit of sense here.
You know, and it's interesting. You bring up where everything kind of was for St. Bonaventure. This is a team that opens up their season 5-0, the fifth win. They beat Marquette, was having a very good season.
Yep.
Got up to 16th in the entire, you know, AP top 25, an 8-1 start, and now sit here at 12-6, and they have been very, very poor against the number. 5-12-1 on the season. What an interesting group. That 8-10 is interesting as a whole. We have two more that we'll talk about. Enough time to bring up one more, I think, before the break. And let's start with the smart schools, Cornell and Princeton. We talk about the Ivy League here, and Princeton on the road is favored, a 5-1 record in conference. The Tigers against the Big Red here, DRS, a big-time total of 156.5 is eye-popping when you see it. Is that the direction that you're looking for this game?
This is a fun one. This is a really good one here. Why? Because you take a look at the top 10 in the country, Cornell. You never would think that they're top 10 in tempo. When you think Ivy League and, you know, backdoor cuts and make the right pass and slow it down, that's not what Cornell does, which is fantastic. Why? Because Princeton's offense is number one overall in the Ivy League with efficiency. So only 8 teams here. So let's take a look at what makes sense in this one. Effective field goal percentage, number one. That means they're getting those quality shots with a nice balance of 2- and 3-point shots going in. If we take a look at Cornell, not all that efficient on offense, which is fine, because the way we're going to be looking at this game is a Princeton team total. So if you're taking a look at Cornell, not that efficient, but going fast, which means they're taking a lot of shots and a lot of wild shots. You're talking about a team that's third in conference play at shooting the three-point shot at 43%. But here also, take a look at Princeton's defense here, Kevin. Very good basketball team, but they're giving up 42% from three-point shots made. But also the caveat, they're number one in conference play at chasing you off the three-point line. So if the shot is there, it looks like you can knock it down. So just to keep it short on this one, between these two schools, I'm looking at tempo in this game and a Princeton team total to the over. Efficiency on offense, tempo from Cornell. We'll see some points here in the Ivy League.
156.5. Always, woo-hoo, just immediately jumps off. The Princeton team total right now, 78.5. That minus 120 juice to the over. Yeah. Look, well, we've seen also, by the way, like you talk about, you know, early line, when does it make sense to jump in? We've seen these tick up throughout the day. The minus 120 juice says this is going higher, not lower. You want to lock it in now. One more college basketball game to get to, but some Pro Bowl and Super Bowl as well. This is the early line on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, closing out college basketball as we go to the MAC. The NAAC we already hit. We go to the other MAC. And yes, I think of it as the other MAC, and I'm certainly justified if we're talking basketball. Ball State and Toledo. The Rockets, usually a group that gets after it here. We know that to be true, and we can see that within this total that checks in again above that 150 price. Toledo, in general, has been playing a bunch of overs recently. Five of their last six, four in a row. Could this be another spot to back that Rockets offense, Donnie? Toledo, Ball State, what are you looking at?
Yeah, we're going to back Toledo in this game, and some of this has to do with the Gonzaga effect, as I like to now call it, where you have one team that's unbelievable on offense and couple it with a team that's unbelievable on defense. Look at MAC play here in this year. Toledo coming into the season 18-4 overall, 10-1 in conference play, and that includes a 9-game win streak. So we see that number coming up here, roughly 8.5 points as a favorite. Toledo's offense, as I said, number one in conference play deficiency, number one in effective field goal position, and also number one at not turning the basketball over. So put everything together. It's clean shots. It's open jumpers. It's not turning the basketball over, which leads to fast breaks for the other team. And also, look at just the individual statistics here. From three-point range, Kevin, number one in conference play, 37% at making the three. Inside the arc, 55%. Number two in conference play. And how you always want it, a team to close out, which you're taking a look at a team that is favored by roughly, 10 points or less. It's very important how you shoot free throws and how you can close these games out. Number two in conference play, Kevin, 79.6%. Then we flip it over to the defensive side for Toledo. Number one in conference play with efficiency, number one in conference play in effective field goal percentage. So that means everything is working in tandem. It looks like, Ball State offense likes to shoot the three-point shot. 41% of their total shots, Kevin, come from three-point range. But you know who, again, will let you shoot the three-point shot? Toledo. But here's the deal. Just because you shoot a high volume doesn't mean you always make them. Number two at defending it, as we said, is Toledo's defense. How about inside the arc? If the three ball isn't going down, let's drive to the paint. Not so fast, Kevin. Toledo's defense, number one in conference play at defense inside the arc. So instead of looking at this going, hey, Toledo should score points, and I do think they will, I'm going to take it the same way I approached Gonzaga yesterday. What, are you kidding me? 20 points on the road. Did you see that final score yesterday? Because you had 40 minutes, and every step of the way, Kevin, on offense on one side, defense on the other, you control the tempo, and you're the better basketball team. I'll lay that margin. I think Toledo can get this win by double digits or more tonight here.
Toledo with nine straight covers. Consecutive covers. And that, by the way, includes covering at home against Ball State as a 12.5 point favorite. Makes a lot of sense there. Just to give you the listed team totals right now, Toledo is 81.5 and Ball State 74.5. That's your college basketball breakdown. Let's talk some Pro Bowl here. Everyone loves the Pro Bowl. Or nobody loves the Pro Bowl. I don't know. It depends. Depends who you're asking. It depends when you're talking about it. The game line is, it is perfect. It is minus 110 both sides. That's what it should be, I would think, though it wasn't always that way. I guess a couple of people this morning were clicking on the NFC. The total is actually up from 61.5 to 62.5. Now, I guess, should we get into picks, if you will, Donnie, or leans, or do you want to get almost straight to the slander about how useless you believe this football game actually is?
Let's get to the slander here first. And before we have a whole segment for this, and we should be able to spend the whole segment on the Pro Bowl just like it's the Super Bowl. I'm looking right now because I want to find the rosters, right, for the NFL Pro Bowl. I want to go up and down the list. So I finally was able to find it on Wikipedia. Here's what I'm going to tell you, which encapsulates in exactly why I cannot stand the Pro Bowl. There are, things that signify the player in the game. And I'm going to read it to you here. There's an A, B, C, D, E, and F. And I'm going to read these to you here. And they said, well, what are you reading this for, Donnie? We just want to know about the game. I'm telling you about the game right here. A means a replacement player selection due to injury or vacancy. B means an injured player selected but not going to participate. C means a replacement player selected as a reserve. D, selected but did not play because his team advanced to the Super Bowl. E, selected but chose not to participate. And F, selected as a starter but relinquished that role. What, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me with this? So basically this means I got to use the alphabet just to realize who's playing, who wants to play, who's injured, who doesn't want to start, who gave up a starting role, who doesn't want to be there, and who's playing in the Super Bowl. Enough. Enough of this madness.
It's so good. Listen, here's the thing about the Pro Bowl. I don't care how many Pro Bowls anyone made. I made a point to not mention how many Tom Brady Pro Bowls there were when we were doing like the whole retirement tour, because who cares? The only thing is, if you didn't make the Pro Bowl, then don't talk to me about the Hall of Fame, because everyone's in the – I think Josh Sweat's in the Pro Bowl. I like Josh Sweat. Hey, Philadelphia Eagle fan. You know, Josh Sweat doing the Pro Bowl, man. Russell Wilson's made 9 of 10 Pro Bowls, and then the next headline reads, Dak Prescott turned down Pro Bowl. Like, Russell Wilson convincing himself that he had a Pro Bowl caliber season is just the most Russell Wilson thing in the history of Russell Wilson. I love it. These rosters here, you know, like, again, it's Rodgers. Look at, like, poor Steve pulling up the NFC rosters, Donnie. How's anyone supposed to even be able to figure out what's what? It's Rodgers, but he's not really there. Kyler Murray, but maybe he's there. Russell, like, Tom Brady's not showing up. I mean, like, Tom Brady, Donnie, Tom Brady could have went out with one more football game, pomp and circumstance here, and played in the Pro Bowl. What would he have been? Minus 700? What would he have been? Minus 1,000 to win Pro Bowl MVP if he showed up to this game? It would have been the easiest cap in the history of sport, Donnie, if Brady rocked up here to the NFC side. Brady over 1.5 passing touchdowns. No. I'm good, man. I told you. I'm done. I don't need another game. I'm not going to Vegas. I'm over the Pro Bowl.
I'm going to give you another story from last night. So this is recently what's in my mind. So last night we come on In Play Sports Tonight. I'm just flipping through, where's the basketball going to be on tonight? And I turned to ESPN, and I watched dodgeball. And I watched Jefferson, a wide receiver, throwing passes and not doing anything out here. I watched, you know, mascots getting hit in the head with passes. Guys just standing on the sideline, taking it off their backs because a non-quarterback was throwing a football. Now, there's people on this network that probably watch and listen and say, hey, you know what? A lot of times Donnie doesn't even listen to what Kevin's saying live on the air on TV or on the radio. That happened once again today and also last night, but for different reasons. Kevin's talking about what I like in an odds boost on the FanDuel Sportsbook and some certain lines. I had no idea what he's saying because I couldn't figure out why an NFL organization was being run and they were playing dodgeball on the field as if that's what the fans and the players even wanted to do. And then it proceeded by showing wide receivers and defensive backs jumping off trampolines and catching footballs. What happened to the Pro Bowl? What happened to the Pro? I don't even know what's going on anymore. I don't know who's playing or who's doing anything right now. Oh, my goodness.
That's unreal, man. I tell you.
And they're not even listening in the background either, apparently.
Yeah. A little bit. I tell you. And maybe I'll get the clip to people and listen to Donnie just break down the live Pro Bowl. I'm telling you right now, unreal scenes. Mac Jones is out there. He can't hit any targets downfield. He starts peppering the one-point machine.
Number four.
He starts peppering. Number four jets down the lines and shows up Mac Jones. Hand up. I was open. He didn't hit me. Russell Wilson, a real quarterback, rocks in. Scores like 40 points. Justin Jefferson is hitting poor standerbys who couldn't even possibly be bothered to watch Justin Jefferson. Double gloves, hood up, sunglasses on. I could have outperformed Justin Jefferson in the quarterback deal. It was an outrageous event. Though, to be fair, they didn't even bother promoting it. Like, the one justification around the Pro Bowl is a bunch of people watching. Like, the Pro Bowl attendance, I don't know if this is true or not, but it's been above 50,000, you know, almost every single year they do this thing. So, I guess it makes sense, but like, they didn't even promote the skill game. It was wild scenes. Like, Hunter Renfro and Mac Jones. I don't know what was going on.
Was there not enough quarterbacks?
Trayvon,
like, is that what's going to be in the game? Like, who's the – that's what I – we started off this segment by going, like, A, B, C, D, E, and F. It apparently was like, now hold on here. They're doing a quarterback competition, but there's not really any quarterbacks in it. Unbelievable stuff to watch last night. And that was on prime time. And, I like to listen to what K-Dub has to say, but I couldn't believe what my eyes were telling me last night. This is an NFL function, and this is what they came up with? Was it on the fly? Then we talked about, like, Trayvon Diggs trying to stand in front of basically a goalie in soccer and make interceptions on Mac Jones and is crashing into it. It was wild to watch, man. It was.
It was so good. Our producer Brian rocks in. He goes, did you guys see that last night? Our entire franchise almost fell apart. Mika Parsons running around full speed. Trayvon Diggs running in the wall, spraying in his shoulder. Poor Cowboys organization is out there trying to prove a point, win a Pro Bowl battle, and they're risking it all. It's outrageousness. Now, here's the deal with this game, okay? It's a straight pick 'em. Who's going to win? The AFC has won 4 in a row. What is that worth? I don't know. They stopped conferences for 3 years. Team Rice versus Team Sanders. Team Irvin versus Team Carter. Team Irvin versus Team Rice. I don't know why they did that. No one, I guess, liked it. So they went back to the conferences, and it's been 4 years in a row of AFC. The three games that they returned, they were all bang unders, under 50 points. And then last year they got after it. It was 38-33. The total moved up this morning from 61.5 to 62.5. Over, I guess, right? They shouldn't play defense. They play defense for 3 years, and they're like, enough, right? I don't know. Patrick Mahomes is there. He should throw like 5 touchdowns in this game. Why is he not throwing 5 touchdowns? I don't understand this.
Yeah, the over does make some sense because typically guys don't want to play defense, and typically for any All-Star game, nobody wants to play defense. Nobody wants to see anybody get hurt, so there's wide-open wide receivers, and I believe you still – I haven't read up on the rules in a couple years, and rightfully so, but it used to be like you can't blitz, so it's just a vanilla scheme. But you want to talk about the odds makers, and sometimes we can look at these and say, what actually makes sense, and do we actually care about this game? Mm-hmm. Everybody – we talk to Dave Sherapin all the time. Everybody's sitting in the room, hey, guys, what do you think? How about this? -110 both sides. Great, let's head out to lunch. That's how much they care about the Pro Bowl and handicapping this, where they laid a -110 on both sides, which basically means this is the equivalent of betting the coin toss in the Super Bowl. Congratulations.
It really is, though. I will, like, the one thing I would be interested in, that's not, listen, we'll see, right? But if they do hang, like, live MVP odds for the game, that would be neat. Because there's like should be plus money out there, and you can kind of follow the game that way. And, you know, the starting quarterback you think would get the nod. Lamar got it last year. He threw a pick in the game, by the way, which is just like wild. Like, of course you did, Lamar. Like, of course you ended up throwing a pick there. You're so right that it is the coin. Like, they tried to shade it towards the AFC side, and then the people are like, what are you doing? You made heads -120. I got to take tails at -103. It's madness here. Go back to the skills competition, though. Man, Donnie's going to do a Donnie, can you recreate the Justin Jefferson look and just throw some stuff on the golf course in the backyard there just so we can see what it looks like comparison-wise?
I mean, the shades, he had the grill going, he had the hoodie on, he had double gloves out here. But my favorite part, Kevin, of the entire thing, it wasn't like hitting the robots or throwing into the corners. I still don't understand what the last throw was where you just heave a Hail Mary up and it lands over this big monstrosity of a monument and into the end zone, and everybody just walks away with a smile on their face. What was it last night? I don't even know what I was watching.
Even Russ didn't record points. What a show. We are Early Line. Bum, 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 bum.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the week here for the Early Line right here on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Wall setting the table from 7 to 9 a.m. before we pass it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after. The Super Bowl is on deck next weekend. We're going to watch it play out. Some are going to be betting heavily on it, so you better listen up. One of the most fun things that is now taking over basically the Twitter space or social media are these big bets now that legalized gambling over the past couple years has invaded the United States. It's fun to see who is betting on what and how much those people are betting on those. Case in point, Mattress Mack laying $4.5 million on the underdog Cincinnati Bengals. Now, taking a look at that, should that, you know, impede your progress and say, well, I like the Rams. I can't believe $4.5 million is coming in on the opposite side. What did they know? Well, also keep in mind, Mattress Mack is a businessman. So he uses those bonuses and those, hey, pay for $3,000 in furniture. If the Cincinnati Bengals win the game, you get this. Or if another team wins a game, he does it all across the landscape with the Houston Astros and multiple other big events, including Alabama on the money line, which didn't work out so well. So the reason I bring this up is you're going to see a lot of influencers and a lot of influence across Twitter. Here's where these bets are coming from. Here's how much they're betting here. Don't feel the need to try to step up to the plate because, you know, DRS isn't going to bet $4.5 million on the Super Bowl. And whether or not Mattress Mack took the Cincinnati Bengals or the Los Angeles Rams has no actual interest to me at all. And the reason I bring it up is we're going to have a lot of fun next week in Los Angeles here on the Sports Grid Network, breaking down bets for the Super Bowl, breaking down advantageous angles and signs, and having a lot of fun with it, which is what you should be doing as well. Looking to cover the mortgage payment or make that one last splash in the Super Bowl, that's not the way to do it. Make educated choices and spend within your limits here, regardless of what anybody out there on the Twitter sphere or social media is doing, including laying $4.5 million down on bets. As I said, we're going to have a lot of fun doing this and breaking it down. So we'll be in LA next week and hope everybody joins us as well. I cannot wait to get there and land and do some shows for the good people out there. But before we do that, obviously everything keeps rolling here on the grid. Ben Stevens coming up right now on the Morning After. Make sure you stay tuned.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.